Hi, today is February 7th, 2021. This is Mobile News Podcast 350. I'm Todd Agasa Ward, my good friend John Westfall. And today we have a really good old friend with us from Germany. So we've got a transatlantic, trans-Pacific. We've got two oceans between us.
Yeah, we really are traversing a lot of distance between the three of us at this point.
Yeah.
I'm almost right in the middle, it feels like.
So I know it's kind of late at night where you are, Arnie. So thank you so much for joining us. It's 9:18 in the morning where I am, and John's like four hours ahead. So
all right. It's 8 p.m. here in Germany. So
not too bad.
Thanks a lot. it's fine.
We're recording this on Zoom and John's Zoom account because we couldn't get Skype to work with Arnie. We don't know what happened. Microsoft just said, you know what, this transatlantic stuff, no, you can't do it. Not gonna happen. But
actually, the German headquarter of Microsoft is here in Munich, so it should work. I have expected it to work, but well, maybe I should give them a call tomorrow.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because I was really hoping to, I mean, you know, your English is fluent, so we don't need it, but I wanted you to test the Skype language translator with us. So you can tell us if it works at all.
Trying to talk to Microsoft about it. I have a friend right now who is trying to battle with Outlook for rejecting messages from his email server, and he's very frustrated that he can't actually get a person at Microsoft that can fix the problem. So that just reminded me of, I'm just going to march down to Microsoft tomorrow and I'm going to make them fix this. It doesn't quite work that way.
Let us collect the former MVP hiccup list of services which are not running properly at the moment.
It only take 5 or 6 pages of single spaced, font to do that.
But any rate, I just wanted to introduce Arnie again. So he like John and I are former Windows CE, Windows Mobile, Pocket PC, Windows Smartphone, Windows Phone MVPs, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Everything non-desktop.
Yeah. And we haven't spoken in person in over 10 years, I think.
I would think so. Yeah.
And it's funny because you were my breakfast buddy at one summit. Oh, we were stuck at, where were we, at Red Lion, and everybody else was at some other nice hotel. Not that Red Lion is not nice, but the two of us were like all by ourselves from our group of friends. And so every morning we'd get up and meet at breakfast, and then we'd head off to the conference to join people who, were having parties, and we don't know what they're doing.
Exactly. but the breakfast wasn't too bad at all. So
no, not at all. It was I quite enjoyed having breakfast with you every morning that week. That was a lot of fun.
I think it was my last summit. I think it was 2010 or 11, something like that.
That would have been our last summit. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Before we all got fired, so to speak.
Oh yes.
Speaking the truth, we spoke truth to power and we all got fired for it.
Yeah. I don't think it helped that we took that big group photo with everybody holding an iPhone up inside of a Microsoft building on Redmond. That probably didn't endear us at all.
That's true.
But anyway, John and I have been talking about getting some we've had a bunch of friends on over the years with us, but we said we need to reach out to people that we haven't talked to in a long time and said, we got to talk to Arnie. We will figure out this time zone and thank you for being available. Thank you for John for being available, because like I said, we're in three very different time zones. I'm GMT minus 10 and you are like GMT plus 1.
Plus 1, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're plus 1? Okay.
Yeah.
So we got quite a bit of distance between us. Anyway, so I got some questions. Huh? Sorry, John.
Morning, noon, and night, because it's 1:20.
Seriously.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so we're post-breakfast, post-lunch, and post-dinner. Although Europeans, don't you guys eat dinner kind of late? I mean, compared to Americans, or some Americans at least?
Yeah, actually, I will have dinner after this call. So,
Okay.
Indeed.
So it's pre-dinner.
It's for the Germans, it's quite unusual, but we are a little bit more Spanish, late at night.
I didn't know it worked that way, but that's kind of interesting, just transition to...
And I know you go to an island off of Spain quite a bit, so if I recall correctly.
Exactly. Yes. Still, if we figure out all this Corona stuff.
Yeah, no kidding. How is it going there, by the way? Here in the States, it's still a little crazy, but vaccines are starting to go out and we're hopeful.
Yes, same for us. We still have our lockdowns and we are forced to work at home. So everybody who works at home or most of the office workers try to work at home.
If they can, awesome.
The internet is doing pretty good, surprisingly. In the very beginning, I really feared everything breaks down, but...
That was a fear here, too.
It was a real smoke test for the internet connectivity, and surprisingly, well done, Vodafone, Deutsche Telekom, a good job here.
Same here, I have to say. Although, it's funny... So I had a couple of multi-hour outages here about a month ago, for about a week. And so I called a friend at our cable provider, since he's fairly high up, and I figured he would know. He says, what's happening is after, I guess this would have been 8 months after the start of our telework adventure, he said, we're finally trying to deal with the last mile problem, some of the hiccups there. And so... They were upgrading the neighborhood nodes in my area, which was causing outages.
Oh, yeah.
But I have to say the service has been quite good, before and after those upgrades. So as an end user, I didn't notice any problems.
Yeah. Sometimes I have the feeling Netflix in the evening hammers more than internet connectivity than the home office is during the day.
I think you're right. It's all that streaming video, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. At any rate, so we haven't talked in like a decade, I think. 2011, 2021. I follow you on Instagram and so forth. So I see all your adventures with your drones and I have questions about that and the exercise technology. But let's start with smartphones. So what phone are you, what phone is Arnie using these days? I'm going to guess it's an Android, but I'm just guessing because I haven't actually seen, absolutely. I've seen a bunch of your photos.
I'm still not connected to the iOS world. I'm still an Android user. Possibly I would even be a Windows Phone user, but without Windows Phone. So I'm a happy Google Phone user and with a Pixel 4. I haven't upgraded to the latest one because of the 4 is good enough for me. I'm really happy. Except the battery standby time. I think that's still the biggest problem of many phones. But all the rest, that's fine. So I'm still really linked into the Android world.
And I use both. So this is my Pixel 4a. In fact, look, there's a message from you on it.
Okay.
saying I'm ready for the podcast. Also, it's an iPhone, but I have both because I find value in playing with both devices. And what about tablets? Are you using any tablet at all? Are you all notebook kind of guy?
I used to use a Samsung tablet or even HTC tablets.
Yeah.
But at the moment, let's face it, there isn't a good Android tablet at all.
True.
So Android and tablet is something which doesn't fit together. My wife asked me yesterday the tablet question again. She always asked me the tablet question. And she is still thinking about a Surface Go.
How interesting.
I don't know why. She's even a heavier Microsoft user than me. She's much deeper. Maybe I influenced her all over the years. Hey, Microsoft, can you hear me? I'm an influencer. Just call me. we will try a Surface kind of tablet.
You might want to take a look at
the gold standard is the iPad. But if I start with the iOS,
you'll go down a rabbit hole.
I would. Yes, exactly, and I really hear this. So what about you guys?
I would suggest taking a look at some of the Chromebook tablets. The Lenovo Chromebook Duet, which I tried to get last year and could never find one easily. It's gotten really good reviews, but it's a year old now, so I'd wait a little. And I think Asus has a tablet, you know, with a detachable physical keyboard that is available. They're pretty cheap, you know, a lot cheaper than an iPad. So I'm still looking for one. I love my Chromebook,
exactly,
by the way.
I'm not sure if they are really available here in Germany. So this Chromebook thing is something, is a blind spot for some reasons here in Germany.
Oh, yeah, interesting. I would suggest go. I don't know if you remember Kevin Toffel, but he has a website called aboutchromebooks.com. And it's an excellent site focused on the Chromebooks. I do a lot of my reading there to get information. All right. I bought 4 Chromebooks, so I'm all in on Chromebooks. And by the way, they run Android software.
Yeah, exactly. that's a plus.
And Linux in a container.
And I am the poster child for what happens if you go all into iOS, because that's what I sort of did a few years ago. And with the exception of running some Debian Linux boxes here and there, everything I run is mostly iOS. So they do make a compelling argument for ecosystem cohesion. Once you start into it, you're like, it's kind of nice. And like last week, talking about trying to get my bookmarks to sync across to Windows and Linux and things like that. It's hard sometimes to break out of that garden once you are in it.
Yep.
So. Yeah, that's a point. Yeah, it's really, really a walled garden, and they really keep everything. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's such a pretty walled
really
garden.
I really like to spread my different kind of services and all this stuff to different service providers, not really being focused on Google Music Service, but Spotify and let's say not really Apple Video or whatever, but Netflix and so on, to really be broader in this kind of service area. Maybe also this is something I learned from Microsoft. Don't put everything on a single platform and a single provider.
Yeah.
Let's say Microsoft Music, Microsoft Spot, Microsoft whatever you name it. Everything faded away. Microsoft Video.
Yeah. And don't make me cry about my Microsoft Spot watch, by the way. I still miss my Microsoft Spot watch.
I know you was one of the influencers to me that I bought one years ago, let's say 15 years ago, which only possible to use it once a year for the MVP summit. So
because they didn't have service in Germany. That's right.
No, they didn't. I paid a 12-month subscription for 1 week in Seattle.
Wow.
What a week it was.
I got the message that they decided to launch Spot here in Germany as well.
Well, they did.
It was a decision, and after they killed Spot, also in the US, and then it went away.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, the Microsoft Spot service worked in my region, but not at my house. So it only start working. It only worked when I got when I drove 5 miles west of my home, which fortunately is downtown Honolulu. So at my home, nothing. But as soon as I got to work in town, my watch would start working. And so I felt pretty, you know, I felt like a real, you know, advanced user, connected user.
Oh, yeah, so, interesting.
Okay, next question. So what laptop are you using? I'm going to guess it's a Microsoft laptop or Windows-based laptop.
Yeah, basically in 2011, I bought my first MacBook Air, which, yes. And the first thing I did was installing Windows 7. I love dual booting on this MacBook, and later on I even deleted the macOS partition because I was exclusively using Windows 7. It was the finest hardware with the best operating system.
It is, yeah.
Let's put it this way. Yeah. And later on, I really switched back to the Surface. I had the Surface RT, which was his ARM.
I still have mine.
Yeah, me too. Another sad story.
Yes, exactly.
Working, but without updates, kind of useless.
Yeah, I had so much hope for it. You know,
I thought me too.
You know, I really thought ARM was gonna the Windows RT for ARM was gonna solve so many problems, and it just created problems.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Again, and again, Microsoft was a little bit too early. If you see Apple now, like so many times, it's so sad to see, especially for us as a former MVP, Windows MVPs. Okay, so long story short, I switched back to Surface Book, and now I'm on a Surface laptop.
Nice.
And I'm really super happy with it. But interesting enough, guys, tell me about your experience. Compared to the software I installed on my laptop, let's say 10 or 15 years ago, I only install a handful of software.
Same.
10, 15 years ago, I don't know, I have 30, 40 programs running on this thing. And now I have 5 and I'm super happy with it. And that's all I need.
I've got Office 365 components, including Teams. Mm-hmm. I've got Chrome. And then I'd have to go think about it.
Exactly. Maybe some special software like for the drone or something like this. But that's it.
Yeah. It's really funny, isn't it? I mean, you're right.
Why,
I remember.
Is it because so many apps moved into the internet or?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's for me at least. It's just so much is on the web, and quite frankly, so much is on my phone.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so So I don't really need that much, which is why I'm so happy with the Chromebook because it's way more inexpensive. You can buy a nice Chromebook for $200 US or $300 US, you know, versus $1,000 for a nice Surface Book or something. Because almost everything is in Chrome or Android. And Office works fine, by the way, on a Chromebook.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I've got Microsoft Office running, and I did run into a weird thing where Microsoft Teams for the web stopped rendering correctly on my Chromebook. I don't know why. So what I did was, and you'll probably find this funny, Arnie, it's I turned on the Linux container on the Chromebook. I installed a beta version of Microsoft Edge for Linux. And it works fine. Now I can get Teams my Chromebook again.
Yeah, that's really something that average John Doe can do and will do. And...
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's how Microsoft thinks. You know, just if anyone has a problem, just follow this 45-step knowledge base article.
Yeah, it wasn't 45. It might have been 37.
I mean... It truly is one of those things where you start to think that maybe they don't quite get, you know, ease of use. But, I think about the same way, though. I've been, you know, playing around with a few pieces of software this weekend to try to bridge HomeKit with some of my IoT devices that don't natively support HomeKit. And it really is one of those things where once it's up and running, it's great. But I spent an hour yesterday on a shell script trying to get status reported properly back to the HomeKit software, and you know, it'll probably work flawlessly now for the rest of the time I have it set up, but that would be a Microsoft solution. You know, here's this 8-step, you know, or 20-step, and steps 5 through 10 will be different each new version, so you can't use an old guide because we'll move things around a little bit, and
Well, you know, I think for me at least, I think they wanted me to stop using Chrome. And now that Edge is based on Chromium, you know, to switch to Edge. So, you know, mission accomplished, right? You guys might remember from our trips to Microsoft in Washington when we went through those product announcements and so forth, and are under the NDA back then. You might remember that one of the unofficial slogans was "Windows ain't done till Lotus won't run."
Yes. Exactly. That's true. But John, what you said, this 8 steps or 10 steps or 15 steps, step by step, this is how Todd and I met first time when we wrote for PocketPC.com.
Yes.
Where we exactly did this. Yes. The tutorials and all this to get everything up and running.
Yeah.
This was the whole idea behind PocketPC.com. Get things up and running and provide tutorials.
I had to write an entire article to explain how to download one song and play it.
Interesting.
Which is ludicrous now, right? Why do you need an article for that?
Exactly. Wow. 20 years ago.
Yep. It's been a long, interesting journey. That's for sure. And for those who may have forgotten, Pocket, that was a Microsoft run site, and our friend Jason Dunn was the editor in chief.
Exactly.
Yep. It was lots of fun. That's the things we wrote. I remember writing an article about the concept of a connected phone. You know, a phone that's connected to the internet and uses. And applications that had to be connected to internet. It was such a wild idea back then. I had to write an article explaining it.
And you forgot to put a trademark on this.
Yeah.
This would have been made you rich.
I know,
rich,
right?
Rich guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I thunk of it. No, not really.
Next time.
Yeah, that's a big idea. Okay, so getting back to our curiosity about what you've been doing. So are you using a smartwatch of any kind, an Android Wear or whatever?
I was a big Pebble fan.
So was John.
John, you too?
Yep. Yeah, I had Kickstarter edition Pebble, and then all the way up to – I didn't go to any of their newer stuff after the Apple Watch came out because I swapped over to that. But I had the Pebble – the metal bracelet Pebble as well when it came out. And yeah, I like the Pebble ecosystem. It was nice before it went away.
Absolutely. I actually kickstarted all the different versions and I had them all. And in parallel, I had Fitbit I think 2011 or something like this.
Yeah.
Basically I used them in parallel. And when the Pebble disappeared and became Fitbit, so I switched completely to Fitbit, and I'm using a Versa 2 now. And the idea behind this is very, very simple.
Charge 4.
My requirement for a smartwatch is a battery time. Todd, you might have seen it in the past when I traveled to Cologne every week for over 5 or 6 years for my job. I flew to Cologne on Monday morning and returned on Thursday or Friday. I didn't want to carry a spare battery or not a spare battery, a charger.
A charge cable,
an additional one. One for the Fitbit and one for the clock and all the stuff. So it's all about runtime for me, battery runtime, and I was super happy with the Pebble and the Fitbit bands, and the Fitbit Versa 2 now has, well, let's say 4 days or something like this, which is good enough at least for my requirement. But I'm really not into the Google Wear, which you need to charge even twice a day, depending on how hard you use it. In terms of this, Google Wear is a mess in terms of battery management or something like this. I don't know if the batteries are too small or the CPU use is too heavy. So I need something which you can really wear for a couple of days. And this is something which never brought me to the Apple Watch.
Yeah, I got to charge. I have an Apple Watch also, and I charge it every night. Yeah, once
exactly.
A day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And at the same point, the marketing message tell you you can also record your sleep, your sleeping stats. How to record it if you have to charge it during the night? Yeah. So
I've run into that same problem because I recently started using my Apple Watch for nighttime to track sleep, and it's been try to remember around 8 o'clock at night to put my watch on charge and let it charge then, and then overnight use it, and then in the morning maybe while I'm getting ready put it on the charger for half hour or something like that. But I basically just start carrying a portable charger with me just in case I end up with a dead watch. But
it's
frustrating.
But John, it feels so wrong that you have to carry a portable charger for your watch.
I carry a charger for everything else just in case something bad happens, and my commute is literally a 10-minute walk. So
this is something you can trust on.
Yeah, this is part of Apple's future marketing, right? As they get more into biometrics and sleep health, they'll say, well, you go to, you don't wear the same clothes to work that you do to sleep. So why do you wear the same watch? You need two watches. That's the obvious solution. One for, when you're awake, and one for when you're asleep.
Has Apple marketing already called you?
They sent a survey.
I see you have already pitched this idea to them.
A couple of questions. This one I'm really interested because I know that you are an avid bicyclist, and I've seen you post lots of photos. I think you just finished the ride before this podcast.
Yes, exactly.
If I'm looking at the Instagram page. So what kind of exercise tech are you using these days?
Indeed, it's all my Fitbit. My Fitbit is recording it. So the connectivity to the phone works quite well, and then I can sync it to the different services on the web, like Strava, which is this cycling and running app, which is the most successful, I would say, and basically that's it. Other than this, I have my mobile phone. But basically, as you said, the mobile phone can do everything. No, you don't need any further
exercise. You don't need the, like when I was much, much younger and I used to read, I rode my bicycle more than I drove a car. Actually, I didn't have a car for a while. I'd have, I don't know what you call them, cycle meters put on your bicycle, and they'd record, all kinds of stuff.
Indeed, I still have this kind of thing, but it's wireless, but it's disconnected. So it's not transferring anything to anywhere. Everything stays on this bicycle computer. So I wouldn't call it exercise tech at all. It's more like where we came from. But most interesting here is a Fitbit with my pulse meter and connected to the phone, and it's doing the GPS recording, and that's it. Yep, but I have an e-bike, actually. So this is this kind of exercise or this tech stuff, doing firmware upgrades of the battery and the motor of your bicycle. Wow. This is then the thing.
Yeah.
And where you can tweak the different profiles. And wow, nice. this is interesting.
Yeah. And you don't have blue screens on your bicycle?
I actually have an app which is connected to my bike, which sometimes feels like it's doing more blue screens than showing me anything useful. But that's a different story for a different podcast.
Okay. And the last tech item I was wondering about is, I know you're also an avid drone pilot. Yeah. I've really been enjoying your drone photos and so forth. And so, you know, I don't think John is a drone person. Neither am I. I've been interested in it. But, you know, so what got you interested in drones? Was it your traveling? Because I know you traveled so much before this pandemic.
Indeed, it was really this different view the drone can provide you, and it's fantastic, and to watch these areas which you are visiting while traveling, and doing these photos and these videos, and DJI really brought drone flying to the masses, let's say, and it really makes it easy for average user to fly this drone, and this was a point where I really jumped in. I even lost the drone before on Majorca. I just had the lift off, and then I only heard strange noises, and then I lost it.
Oh boy!
Out of control. Yes, it was unfortunate because it was the birthday of my wife. And
oh,
yes, and she was with me and on this hike, and she said, "No, don't start your drone here." And I said, "Oh, sweetheart, just this 5 minutes." And then I was somehow pissed for the rest of the day, and she was pissed about me because it was her birthday. And yeah, so lesson learned: never start a drone if it is a birthday of your wife.
Yes. So are you flying all DJIs?
Some of the DJIs.
Yeah, no. The first one I lost was Parrot.
I remember the Parrot.
I think they were pretty successful in the beginning, and they are still in their niche where they are still successful. But after this, I switched to the DJI Mavic Pro because of the size. With this folding arms and everything, it's really so useful to pack it in your backpack and just carrying it around. Not like the Phantom in the very beginning, which was a huge drone, and where you really had to carry a big box. And with the DJI Mavic Pro, it's really convenient.
I've never used any of these. So do you use your Android phone to control everything, or does it come with a dedicated controller or something?
It has a dedicated controller where you put in your phone, where your phone is more or less your screen for the camera.
Mm.
And as far as I have seen from different postings on the internet, and also from the experience of friends, it actually works better with iOS than it does with Android. Again, iOS first for some reasons. It's always Apple first, no? And but Android is working fine. And actually, I'm using one of my older phones to connect it to the remote control. So not my actual phone. I don't want to receive any phone calls while flying my drone in a mission critical situation.
Yeah.
So I have one of my older phones was a dedicated data sim, and this keeps me connected.
Cool, very cool. Yeah, anyway, so if you ever go find Arnie on Instagram, he many a day you'll see some really cool photos from his drone.
Yeah, thanks a lot. But Hawaii would be perfect for flying the drone around.
Yeah, except that it's, you know, where I live, it's so densely populated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There is some privacy concerns. I think also I would have to be licensed. I would need to get a license to fly. Even though I'm not professional, I think I should probably get one just to be safer. Yes, you know,
we also have this as a new law here all over Europe. They standardized the laws in Europe.
Yeah,
that we all have to make our licenses, even if you are not professional, as you said.
Right, that seems reasonable to me. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, That's fine, but as, then again, as you said, privacy concerns and so on, yeah, and so on. You are not really allowed to fly free, so you really have to find your spot, a field or something like
that, right, right,
where you can fly, or let's say the Mediterranean Sea along the coast on the beach, and then you have to really make sure that this beach is also not any kind of privacy concerns, and
right,
it's different and difficult, but well, it works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's something I was always interested in, but a lot of barriers for me, and I just said, you know, I'll let people like Arnie do it and enjoy his photos.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Also, you go places I've never been, so you know, it's doubly interesting to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's also something I really love to follow on drone shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if I get into it down here in Mississippi, it's just going to be cotton field, soy field, corn, more cotton, very flat. But I, the DJIs, I have been very tempted a couple of times to pull the trigger and get one just to play with. So you never know. Maybe this summer, if I can't travel this summer due to COVID, I might end up taking that up as this summer's hobby just because. Yeah.
I think I actually
get a different view of the same places I've seen.
Yeah, I think I've actually seen DJIs in Costco here. I think our Costco store actually had DJIs, and I think you guys have Costco in Germany too, right? And store.
Yeah, I'm always ordering it directly from the website and get it shipped from China.
Okay, so it's to start closing it up, a couple of things I wanted to note. One is, unlike the Android, which has fingerprint reader, so I can use it with my mask on, Apple took off their fingerprint reader a couple of phones ago, and it's all face recognition, which doesn't work with a mask. But apparently the iOS 14.5 updates going to let you unlock your phone in a mask, so I'm really waiting for that to become available, because it's a hassle, you know, to type in my PIN like a small animal.
Try being in a climate where you might wear gloves that are not touchscreen gloves. So then you pull out your phone and it's, So I'm very much looking forward to.
Well, you just got to cut out. Install the betas. But you got to just, cut out the little fingertip on your glove and, just have a little Velcro that Velcros it back on when you need to. I got to tell you something. So let's see. Let me see if I can. I don't think I can do the math in my head. But let me see, 60 degrees Fahrenheit for Arnie's benefit to Celsius. So here in Hawaii, we're in what our local weather people call a cold snap. And so it's been down to 60 degrees, 15 degrees. 60 degrees is 15.5 Celsius, Arnie.
Oh, so, okay.
And so people in Hawaii are wearing parkas and, long pants. And you would think the new ice age has struck, I swear. It's pretty hilarious. There's not a lot of people outside, but those who are, it's like, really, you're in Hawaii, right?
This is something which I was always fascinated about Seattle. It doesn't matter if it was freezing and close to snowing. Everybody was running around in shorts and short trousers. This was really the first thing I noticed about Seattle. Wow. It doesn't matter how cold it is, shorts.
Well, I spent a couple of years in Alaska, 90 miles south of the Arctic Circle. What is that? About 120 clicks, I guess. And I remember my dad and I used to go outside to to barbecue stuff, and there was snow on the ground, and we'd have t-shirt and shorts on, and you get used to it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you had a barbecue to warm yourself up,
Okay, that's true.
But in any case, I just wanted to mention the iOS mask thing, because I mostly use the iOS phone for a lot of things, to be honest. And so I'm really waiting to be able to unlock it with, a masked face. The other thing I want to note is, last week I talked about the One by Wacom $60 digitizing tablet I bought that I was for my Chromebooks. I just tried it with my MacBook Pro last night. And you got it, unlike the Chromebooks, where you just plug it in and it works. On a MacBook Pro, I had to install drivers and this, that, and other thing, and go find some software to use it. I ended up using Autodesk Sketchbook, which is free, and it's quite a good drawing application. So that worked pretty well, although I think the driver is like 150 megabytes, which seemed excessive to me. But it does have some features that's not on the Chromebook, like you can adjust the buttons on the stylus to do different things, which you can't do on a Chromebook, I think. So that was kind of fun. And that was all I wanted. John's been playing with some stuff. John, you want to mention what you've been playing before we
close out? So this is something I started playing with yesterday. Homebridge, which is open source piece of software that lets you integrate smart home devices that don't natively support Apple's HomeKit into HomeKit. So in the last day, I have integrated a little WLED light strip that I bought with a little Arduino board that is running custom software because it can interface over an HTTP call. So I was able to connect that up. I was able to connect up my Natatmo weather station with HomeKit, even though it doesn't natively support it. I was able to connect up my Sonos speakers to expose them a little bit through HomeKit so that I can change volume levels. So this is pretty cool software. It's actually not that hard to get up and running. I have it running in a Docker container on my network attached storage, my QNAP over here. And it's opening up some new possibilities and also supports some workaround sorts of things. So for example, there's a plugin that will let you run a Unix command just at the touch of a button through HomeKit. So that's how I'm actually controlling the light switch. It'll actually report status back through what another Unix command will tell it, a shell script command. So a lot of extensibility and just kind of a lot of fun to breathe some new life into some IoT stuff that I haven't, it's on my list that eventually it'll get replaced with something that probably natively supports what I need it to support, but it's, less than 10 years old. I really don't want to swap it out if I don't have to at this point. And especially the Sonos system, considering that I spent probably around $2,000 over the last 10 years adding these speakers in, I don't necessarily want to get rid of them too quickly. I told my wife yesterday they need to hold out for probably another 8 or 9 years before I'm ready to go to something new. And I also did order a few new things that I'm going to be excited to talk about in the next few weeks. A new camera that supports HomeKit secure video. So I'm looking forward to seeing how well that works. And also it's a Zigbee hub by itself. So I've got a new temperature sensor that's a Zigbee sensor that I'm going to see how well that integrates through the hub. So if you are into HomeKit and you are an iOS or you just like HomeKit implementation better than some of the others, I would recommend Homebridge. It's just at homebridge.io.
Hey, Arnie, do you have anything you wanted to plug? Any projects you're working on or anything like that? Or are they all top secret?
No, actually, it was super interesting what John said about this Homebridge thing, which brings me again to which makes me thinking about joining the iOS world sooner or later. exactly this kind of things. This is really something I miss in the Android world because Apple is far ahead here and is really setting the standard here and bringing really things on the street where Android is only following. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And John, you told it in this kind of way that let me open apple.com and order an Apple.
I mean, that was one of the main reasons. So I had gone from Windows Phone to Android in 2010 or so when we all started looking around at things other than Windows Mobile because they were lost. And then in 2014, I switched carriers and it was the first time I was on a carrier that supported iPhone. So I got my iPhone then and decided, let me try out this ecosystem. And one of the main reasons I really wanted to do that was I was sick of being a second-class citizen with Android. Because you're right, everything comes to iOS first. All the best accessories come to iOS, all the cooler cases and this and that and everything else. And it was just, I mean, I still think that for 99% of use scenarios, you can get the same experience on iOS and Android, but it's how much do you want to invest your time into hacking the Android experience together versus just having it work with Apple.
Exactly.
And you can, and for the people that say Android, you know, you need Android for hackability. No, you can do it with iOS, but you're going to be spending your hackability on, you know, running a Docker container or something like that, like I'm doing on my home network. So if you're a geek, you're just going to find other ways to do it while still working within iOS.
Yeah. And I should have warned Arnie before he joined us, you know, I have for years, I have blamed John for, you know, not forcing me by, you know, by threats or anything, but for influencing me, let's say, to buy stuff that I hadn't really thought about buying. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of dollars I have spent that I would not have spent had I not spoken to John. You know, like if I never met John, I would have saved thousands of dollars. I'm just saying.
Todd will mention something that I'll purchase, but it's always at like the $30 price point, and I'm always mentioning things that like $300 or above that Todd's buying. So I feel kind of guilty about that. You know, every so often I'll pick up a new little case or, you know, a little accessory that Todd mentions, but.
I'm a cheap guy, generally speaking. You know, I don't recommend expensive stuff.
same with me. You asked me what's my latest thing. So very personally, I bought an electric vehicle.
Oh wow!
A smart this micro car.
Smart.
You used to have it in the US before they pulled the plug. Yep. Over there, and they are now full electric, so they don't have any gasoline engines anymore. And I bought one back in December to make me more electric.
I didn't realize Smart stopped selling in the U.S. When did that happen, Arnie? Do you know when?
I think, let's say, 2 years ago or something.
I didn't know that. Because I know a friend of mine who lives here in Hawaii, but he used to go, you know, before this pandemic, he used to go to the mainland all the time. He bought a Smart USA car, which is what the branding is here. He I think he bought the gasoline version, though. He bought the gasoline version of a Smart car, parked it at his mother's home on the, you know, mainland US. And whenever he'd go visit, he'd, you know, go see his mom first and then grab the car and drive all over the country.
It's perfect. As I understood it, they haven't seen a big market in the US because the cars are too small for you guys. There's not really a market.
Interesting.
But as a kind of city car, I find it super interesting. I'm now trying to make my first experience with electric vehicles, which is again a brand new experience.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we are coming up to past the top of the hour. I want to thank Arnie for staying with us through the evening.
I
think we delayed your dinner. I'm sorry.
It wasn't you. It was Skype. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Yeah,
it was my pleasure, and it was really fun stuff. Let's do it again.
Yes.
Let us don't wait another 10 years.
Yes, let's do it less than 10 years. Maybe next month or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you have time.
Count me in. I'm in the home office anyway.
Okay. Yeah, like most of us, right? Like, where are you going to go?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, folks. So this has been a very special MobileViews number 350. It was a lot of fun talking to you and seeing you in person. Well, kind of in person, in Zoom. And I should note that I'll post a photo of the three of us together on Zoom. But I am the odd man out, literally, because both John and Arnie have the COVID beard thing going. Well, actually, you guys both had beards before the pandemic, but I am the only one. I'm Asian, right? I can't grow a decent beard.
You're the most looking serious of us.
Yes. All right, folks. All right. Okay. Talk to you later.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
John, thank you. Talk to you. Uh-huh. And talk to you.